Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on Groundhog's Day. Punxsutawney Phil, I guess, saw his shadow. You know, I go back and forth back there in Pennsylvania. I think it's always a safe bet to say there's going to be six more weeks of winter. We are at February 2nd, 2017. It is the Buckmaster Show. First half of the show today, we'll talk about education. Then at 12:30, Ryan Hansen will be along from Bon Voyage Travel. We'll do our travel talk on Buckmaster. We usually do that once a month. Our live line number is open for you, 790-2040, for your calls, questions, and comments. We're going to begin here on the Buckmaster Show. Michael Hicks joins us. Mr. Hicks is the newly elected president of the governing board of the Tucson Unified School District, the second largest school district in the state of Arizona. And I believe, at least in my almost 30 years here, first of all, Michael, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I think in my long tenure in Tucson, I think you're the first Republican. I know the board is nonpartisan, nonpartisan board. I think you're the first Republican president of the TUSD governing board. I could be wrong. Maybe a listener will correct me, but it's a pretty safe bet, I think.
At least in recent history.
In recent history. How are you settling in as in that role? You had a meeting this week, and how's the whole dynamic going?
Well, I've been getting a lot of critiques from not only my fellow board members, but from other people out in the community telling me that it seems like I'm doing pretty good. There's a few little missteps every once in a while, but that's I accept those. I'm trying to bring more cohesive relationships with the board while we're at least on the dais.
Trying to maybe tone down, Michael, what has been a combative atmosphere on the board.
Trying to. It gets a little difficult sometimes when individuals start going off on a tangent that I think is not a good thing to be doing at the time of the meeting.
But you're trying to keep it as professional as possible.
I'm trying to keep it as professional as possible. I accept critiques. I admit I'm not perfect. So, but I'm trying to make things work a lot more efficient, trying to make more I'm trying to make us be more efficient with the time that we have and trying to make our time a little bit better.
Rachel Sedgwick, your newest board member, how is she settling in?
She's settling in. There's still some questions that she has that, of course, she's a new board member, and like any new board member, has different ideas and not understanding certain things. And so I look forward to that. And it's a fresh breath air. It's having somebody from another side looking in and calling us out when we do things that we think that, you know, we continue to do things. We always continuously need to be critiqued and make sure that we can always do things better.
All right. What about Dr. H.T. Sanchez? He has a contract that will be through, I believe, June of next year. So he's got a little ways on the contract. What's his immediate future, do you feel, at this point? How's he doing?
He's doing the same that he has been doing. For the immediate future, he's still here. There's no discussion that I'm aware of removing him or him leaving. I don't know. I haven't had any conversations with him in regards to that. I have had conversations with him in regards to what the public has been saying to me in that. So we've been communicating on that.
What would you like to see him do that could turn things around, perhaps in the opinion of people who would like to see him, you know, either fired or terminated or whatever?
Well, one of the first things is I would like to see, and I would hope that he wouldn't mind doing this, is having a forensic audit within our entire district. Have somebody come in from the outside and just do a forensic audit.
And just pour through the books.
Right. And find out. And that's what's going to show the transparency of this district and saying, of course, we may be doing things that we probably shouldn't be, and the administration may be doing things. That needs to come out and say, because the only way you're going to learn from this and really do anything is to call out your mistakes and say, this is a mistake, we're going to learn from it, we're going to move on, and we're going to try to recover from it.
And that transparent move would settle some folks down, you believe?
I believe so. It's still going to be some issues because of the 301 information that looks like it's been sustaining.
Monies right. for teachers.
These were funding that was supposed to go to teachers. And then we had the 123 funding that some of it went to the teachers and more of it went to administrators and others. So we need to get a handle of our budget. And not only that, then we also, while we're doing this, we need to bring academics back to this district.
790-2040, if you have a question or comment for Mr. Hicks, Michael Hicks, the TUSD Governing Board President, give us a call right now. Let's talk about teachers. My friend David Morales, writing in the Three Sonorans today, said that the district's losing teachers very quickly, 400 a year. And substitutes now, apparently, this is a huge problem. They're needed desperately.
Well, that's a national phenomenon that's going on. And I feel that if you don't respect your teachers, you don't pay them a living wage. You know, when some teachers can go out and they can get food stamps and subsidies, that's not a good thing. This is a professional job. They have a awesome responsibility in regards to educating our students who are going to be taking over this country, you know, coming up. So we need to educate them very well. We need to have very good teachers who are teaching these kids, and we need to pay them well. But not only pay them, but respect them. And give them the tools to be able to manage their classrooms. They are the masters of their classrooms. And we don't necessarily do that when a kid comes in with a cell phone and the teacher says, put your cell phone away, and the kid says no. And they're like, well, okay, there ain't a whole lot I can do. That's not good. They are the master. I remember back in the day, if you talked back to the teacher, you didn't do it more than once.
No, you were gone. Yeah.
Well,
you were gone out of the classroom, not necessarily gone from school,
right.
But you were gone. We used to have something called the principal's office.
But now what happens is if you talk to the kids, they don't mind being sent out of the class because they'll go to the principal's office,
and
that's where they socialize.
Yeah.
They'll sit there and socialize.
With their
devices. Or just other students who are around. I am in favor of in-house suspensions. I'm in favor of once a child is in-house suspension, the same as some of the old movies where you go into a room, the lunchroom or wherever, there's a monitor there. You bring your work in there and you work. You don't sit and play on your phone. You don't play on your iPad. You don't socialize. This is where you're going to do your work.
Let's see if we can work in a call here, Michael, from one of our listeners. Ingrid has called. Ingrid, I understand you have a policy question for Mr. Hicks.
Well, yes. It's the fact that the policies are not written up completely in the school records. Sentences are incomplete. I wonder, could I get a job of almost $500,000 a year and not write up correct data, just let that go and operate as if everything is hunky-dory? Can I get a job for $500,000 with the school system and operate that way?
Well, I hope not. I'll be honest with you. In regards to the incomplete policies and the policies set up, I was one of the ones who spearheaded a policy that would, before the board votes on a policy, that policy would go out to the SEPC, which is the parent group, to every school site for their site councils, and also to the student council, which is the student councils and the Superintendent's Student Advisory Council. I want these things to go through those areas so these people can take a look at them and say, you know what, this isn't going to work, or like you said, incomplete sentences, or not good sentences, or not good policies. I based this off of my experience with Pima Community College.
Where you've taught for 30 years, I believe, teaching a computer class.
I've been at Pima College for over 30 years now, consistently. Wow. And what they do there, or what they used to do, is before they voted on a policy, that policy had three readings within the board. But it went through. It was a collaborative working relationship or governance.
It was vetted through three different...
Correct. Well, the staff council, the faculty council, and the student council. Because here's the thing. Here we are. We're the board, and we're sitting up on a dais, and we're making decisions on our staff and our students that they have no say in, or they used to not have a say in.
You're going to see if they can get a say.
Now they have a say, and they can come back and say, you know what, the intent here is good, but, you know, in practice, this isn't going to work. If you do it this way, it would work much better.
So, All right, Michael, stick around. We're going to do another segment with you, but right now I want to tell our listeners about Silver City. What a great trip this would make. It's take you about 3 hours. Go over to that. Michael, have you been over to that area?
Yes, I have.
You have. And you enjoy it very much, I assume.
New Mexico is awesome.
It is indeed. Southwest New Mexico, that corner of the state over there, and so much history. I love history and historic Silver City. And the university there is really a nice campus, Western New Mexico University. Check out their museum. It's the finest collection of the Mimbres pottery in the United States. It's just a great road trip. SouthwestNewMexico.org, the website with the many fine places to stay and so much to do. Michael Hicks, we'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier. Our Friday roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Dan Shear of the Green Valley News. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch. Put it all together, it's happening on Buckmaster, noon hour, AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice, and of course, always on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. And I want to tell the listeners, we have such great sponsors. Michael Hicks, by the way, is with me. Michael is the president of the TUSD Governing Board. One of our fine sponsors, Michael, is Green Things. They're out on 13 acres. You're familiar with what's going on out there.
Yes.
Great property.
Yep.
Jan and Jack, the owners, they initially bought the 4-acre property. They have now expanded it to a 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Well, you've been around Tucson for a long time. You know that is a beautiful parcel of land over there.
Well, that whole area that whole side has just been awesome.
So if you're into gardening like I am, greenthingsaz.com is the website, and they try to really make this special on the weekends with their free workshops on Saturday and Sunday on different gardening tips. We're speaking with Michael Hicks, and Michael now has been on the board for 7 years, but this is really his first month or so as the president of the TUSD Governing Board. How many weeks?
Correct.
Just a couple of meetings, right?
Only three meetings. The organizational meeting, and then we had a meeting, and then this is the second full meeting.
And so this whole thing with the desegregation order, which is the long, I don't know if it may be one of the, certainly one of the longest in the United States, people really have no idea, Michael Hicks, what this is about. Am I right here? You talk to people every day that probably say, why do you still have this deseg order?
Correct.
They don't understand it.
They don't understand what, to begin with, it started off as a desegregation court case. The district was found segregating our town, basically. Mm-hmm. And so the Fishers filed suit, and then the Mendozas followed suit with that. And so now we're over 40 years into
what
this.
What has it evolved into?
Well, I don't believe it's as much of a desegregation court case anymore because of the fact that we have open schools now. You can go to any school that you want. I believe it's more an equity type atmosphere now in regards to the way we dispense discipline, and we do. I have seen where some schools administration will discipline a child in one way and another one for the exact same thing, discipline another way. Our last code of conduct left some to interpret, you know, what does this really mean? We need to get back into really applying the same rules to the entire organization and our kids.
So you would like to see some kind of uniformity where one student who may be disciplined for at one school, perhaps at another school for the same offense, might not even be disciplined.
Correct.
So it varies, you're saying, pretty much from school to school.
I have seen that, yes. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I've been told that from parents and
so
from
kids. So is there a bullying problem?
I believe there is a bullying problem. I think you'll always have a bullying problem. I think it's more in the way that you approach the bullying. I mean, there was bullying when I was in school back in the 50s and, or the 60s,
yep.
50s. I was born in the 50s.
What year?
1958.
Oh, okay. But it's been around.
It's been around. Yeah. It's going to stay around. It's a fact of life. But mm-hmm. it's the way you deal with the bullying. It's the way that you treat it that makes it, you know, whether it's a just normal everyday bullying. I mean, there's bullying all the time. Adults do it. I mean, politicians do it. It's actually bullying. What we do, though, instead of calling it bullying, we call it politics.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens. It's the way that you deal with it is what we need to take
so
care of.
So that's going to be one of your focus. Also, you've got a budget. That has to be taken care of. Your
yep.
budget has to be balanced. And I believe that is coming up right around the corner, isn't it?
Well, we've had some budget stuff. We had the coffer come up before us. We had questions on it. I'm going to be asking that the board look at maybe doing a forensic audit within the entire district, and we get this out and we get our deficiencies out there. The only way that you're going to move forward is accepting that you have deficiencies, if you have deficiencies, and moving forward with it and correcting those.
Will you be moving that quickly to the front of the agenda here very soon?
At our next meeting, I'm going to ask that it be placed on the agenda.
And this would be someone hired from the outside that does this, that specifically looks at different school districts?
Yeah. Correct. I would assume so. And that's the thing. School districts and government and business are all different types of accounting practices.
Mm-hmm.
We'll need somebody who knows education and knows the budgeting of education to be able to go forward with this. But I do want to get this out and be transparent to the community and say, okay, here it is. These people came in, and I'll be honest, when we pick a company, I would like to have the public also involved in this. So there's none of this, well, you know, you guys did this way or whatever. I want a truly transparent forensic audit done on this district so we can put this to bed once, you know. And if we have
about
deficiencies.
About these rumors that something funny is going on and all that stuff.
Well, I've been told that, you know, we had a $15 million mm-hmm. deficit. And mm-hmm. then we're told, no, we have, you know, $20 million surplus. And when the board doesn't know exactly what our finances are, then I believe that's an issue, or at least this board member.
But right now you have no plans to fire HT.
I have no plans mm-hmm. to fire HT at this time.
You would like to kind of bring everybody together.
I'd like to try to bring everybody together, try to move forward. I know that I've heard other things going on, but my goal as the president is to try to bring unity within the board. I can't speak for other board members and but at this time, at this moment in time, there's no plan by me to fire the superintendent.
All right. Quickly, let's go to the live line. Terry would like to join us. Hey, Terry, I've only got about a minute.
Well, I'll make this very fast. It seems like the other issues that are talked about aren't as important as curricular issues. And I think there's a need to study foreign language and geography. Ever in our life do we need that. So, we talk about
I agree.
This. Yeah, so let's take a look at fixing our curriculum.
Absolutely.
That's a great comment, Terry, actually.
Well, here's one for you. Yeah. I don't believe we teach Arizona history. And we were taught Arizona history when I was in Keene Elementary School.
Yeah, I mean, my big thing, I loved geography in school. We used to have these, every classroom, Michael, perhaps you remember this as well, had a nice globe,
yep.
You know, and I have no idea whether they've still got the map of the world even on the wall. I don't even know if they teach geography.
I would hope so. Honestly, I don't know, but
maybe you need to look into that one too.
Really, but the caller is correct. Yeah. We need to get back. We really need. I think what we really need to do is go back to our basics and teach reading, teach writing, teach arithmetic, geometry. These things need to be taught to these kids. One of the things about all this is for you to learn in regards to history. You learn history so you don't repeat the bad things in history.
That's right.
We need to sit down and go through these, and not only just our history, but other history that's out there.
All right, Michael Hicks, thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate you having me.
We appreciate it. 12:30 on The Buckmaster Show. We'll be talking about travel with Ryan Hansen. That's next. Stick around. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our monthly travel segment now. It's always a pleasure to welcome our travel industry contributor to the Buckmaster Show. He's one of two dozen people we are so proud to have associated with this program, and their bios are at buckmastershow.com. His name is Ryan Hansen. He's president and chief operating officer for Bon Voyage Travel. Bon Voyage has had 40 great years, a terrific run, and starting now, get very close, Ryan, to the 41st year.
You bet.
Yeah, of delivering a very wide range of travel-related services to Southern Arizonans through their four offices and a very strong internet presence at bvtravel.com. Let the travel experts at Bon Voyage let you travel like an insider. And one way to do that, Ryan, and first of all, it's great to see you.
Thank you for having me on.
One way to travel like an insider and get some great information is something I am very excited about. I cannot wait for Saturday.
Saturday's going to be a great one. And you mentioned it. We're days away from turning 41. That will be February 6th. So it is appropriate that we have the travel show coinciding with that same day that we opened our doors back in 1976. But this Saturday is going to be none other. There's nothing else like it in Tucson as far as travel industry representatives and experts from Bon Voyage all in one place. We'll have over 30 travel supplier partners plus about 50 of our staff on hand at the Westin La Paloma on Saturday, beginning at noon. And throughout that day, it's an opportunity to engage one-on-one with your favorite cruise line, hotelier, all-inclusive resort, or maybe an escortic vacation or an adventure trip that you have always
like
wanted
African
to go to.
Like African travel. Sure. That's on the agenda at 2 o'clock in the Astor Room, where I'll be, actually. I'm so excited about this.
Oh,
at
I
1
can't
o'clock,
wait for that.
You and I get together and sit down and talk travel in the Astor Room at the Westin La Paloma. This whole agenda is very ambitious. Like you say, you're covering all the bases. European travel, for folks that want to go to the South Pacific, this is one that I hear nothing but raves about, the Paul Gauguin cruises.
Oh, you bet.
In French Polynesia.
Yeah, we have one new thing this year. For those of you that may have come in the past, what we have done is we have pooled together a couple of the supplier partners and that we have looked at and said, hey, this is similar type of trips. And so at noon, in three of our different rooms, we have some themed opportunities. So if you're interested in river cruising, but you don't know which cruise line makes sense for you, we'll have all three of them present in the same room.
Idea, because that is the hot item, I think, in the cruise
world.
It's
extremely
right now.
Hot. It is. It's new ports, new destinations. Obviously, takes you off of the ocean. But maybe you have been there, done that. Mm-hmm. As far as the cruising, and you want to do something more along the lines of an expedition voyage, and you're saying, I don't want to just go back to the Mediterranean or the Baltics. I want to hear about the Galapagos. I want to hear about Antarctica. Well, we'll have a grouping of our partners that will explain to you how you can see the blue-footed booby in the Galapagos in luxury or in maybe a little bit meager accommodations, but more adventure. We always talk in our industry, soft adventure versus more active. Some people want plush accommodations and they just want to be up close. Others want to step foot on the rocks and really get out on the Zodiac. So there's varying degrees of travel, as we know, across the board.
And there is, Ryan. Let me add one thing about the Galapagos. We were there a few years ago, actually met Dan Rather at the hotel on the island there, the main island of in the Galapagos. So you can do kind of a a combination, because some people just don't want to do the full thing on the ship.
Right.
That perhaps, whatever reason, they'd rather be land-based. And you can do that, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. The world, the phrase, the world is your oyster, is absolutely true. And that's why we have such a myriad of offerings, is you never know what might tickle your fancy or what's on Bill's bucket list versus mm-hmm. Ryan's bucket list. So we do range from all the continents, all different types of travel, from somebody that maybe doesn't have a luxury budget and needs something a little bit less expensive because that's the place they're at in their life or that's what they prefer. We have those offerings as well.
And one yachting? You have a whole hour for yachting.
Yeah. We have some of our partners and experts coming in to talk about. There's one cruise line out there called Star Clipper. So if you've ever wanted to be on a ship that actually has sails,
right,
and really truly sail, that is one that you need to come for. That's at noon in one of our rooms. So you'll want to see that just as something different.
But did Windjammer kind of set the stage for that?
Yeah, that was one of the forefront.
Right, one of the forefront.
Yeah. We have a couple other partners that we work with. Windjammer's still out there and a very good product, and we can work with you. But you brought it up, and I would love to echo it. You and I are going to turn the tables.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. 1 o'clock, we're going to talk, and you're going to ask me questions, which is kind of a switch. So,
how many years in the industry that you've been interviewing people?
Oh, probably 50 years.
Okay, so how many times have you been interviewed? I'm sure you've been interviewed more than a handful of times.
Yeah, a couple of handfuls, but it's always like, oh man, I'm nervous.
You're in the sidecar, baby.
No,
you're not
there
driving
you go.
The motorcycle.
No, but I'm excited about it because I'll be able to kind of voice some opinions on some great places I've been. And I think I'm going to surprise the audience with some of the places that I'm going to talk about because they are places that are sometimes off the radar screen, but boy, they'll make a great choice. So this is going to give some people an idea of maybe some different places.
You know, that's one of the things I'm excited about is people will be able to come to the show and see travel through a traveler's eyes, not just us who we deem ourselves experts or our partners that, of course, are going to tout that their cruise line, their hotel is the best out there. To hear it from someone who's been to 100 countries, who has done it, who enjoys it, who has a passion for it, I'm excited, and I hope some of your audience will take us up on it. Come see the show and then obviously come in and hear from you as they do on a daily basis.
And we want to emphasize the fact that this does not require money up front to come to this show.
Yeah, it's a free show.
Free show. How will it work? There's three conference rooms, right?
Three conference rooms for the presentations. And so it's a first come, first serve seating. But we also have a big showcase that's on the main level there at La Paloma. So you're not limited to only hearing or talking to a presenter at one of their rooms. So the show starts at 12, goes through 3 o'clock. I would encourage you to sign up with us. You can call our offices at 797-1110 to RSVP, just so we have an idea of who's coming. Or you can go to our website, bvtravel.com, and you can register there. That's probably the best place to start because that full presentation schedule is listed there. And you can come prepared because you probably aren't going to want to sit in one room for every presentation.
Right.
You're going to want to pick and choose the ones that resonate with you and coming prepared. We've talked internally about this is a great place for information, but more so, it's a great place to come for insight. And there is a difference between information and insight.
And I'm just looking at the schedule, and these are all the big names in the business, Holland America, Royal Caribbean. I like this African travel event is going to be at 2 o'clock. And then in the same room where you and I will be talking, the Astor Room, because one of the places kind of give a little hint. I love the Canadian Rockies, and there's going to be a presentation for, you know, we talked about river cruises certainly being hot, especially for Europe. Well, I would say in North America, Ryan, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think the Rocky Mountaineer train trip is really probably the most talked about kind of Canadian travel
it's
event.
It's definitely
that goes on.
One of the most picturesque experiences and relaxing to ride the rail. And that's one, you mentioned it, we do have a lot lot of the well-known travel partners that that everyone knows, like a Princess Cruises comes to mind. But Rocky Mountaineer may not be something you've heard of. How about Quark Expeditions? This is going to be in the Expedition Voyages seminar at noon. They do some very unique landings at Antarctica and some other off-the-beaten-path experiences that they're not a household name. That's one of the reasons why you come, is to hear from some new ideas.
Just had a friend on Facebook posting some wonderful pictures from Antarctica. Wow, did I want to go. Just some incredible scenery. Norway, actually, that's the only continent I have not been to, is Antarctica.
All right, we need to work on that.
Norway is huge right now, and there's a cruise line that just specializes the Norwegian coast.
Yes, Hurtigruten. That's right.
Yes, and they're going to be there.
They will be there. And so if you've ever had or heard of the Northern Lights, and if you haven't heard of them, you need to Google that. And just the pictures don't do it justice, but they're still unbelievable imagery. That one thing we've talked about a lot, travel is so visceral.
Yes.
And then that's what's in your mind after you go, are all those pictures, all those landscapes and vistas that you've seen. The Northern Lights would be one that's on the bucket list. Hurtigruten can take you there.
All right. Bon Voyage Travel Showcase 2017. Ryan Hansen. And always a pleasure, and we will see everyone out there 12 noon to 3 west in La Paloma this Saturday. Go to the website bvtravel.com and just say, hey,
and
I'm coming.
Come see us at 1.
Yes,
come
I
on.
Hope so. I'd love to see some of our listeners out there. Ryan, a pleasure. See you Saturday.
Thanks,
Thank
Bill.
You, sir.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control reminds you of their patented foaming treatment with an onomatopoeia poem. Termites, oh termites, why must you eat? The homes of Tucson shall not be your treat. Five Star, will your foam help protect? It certainly will, your walls will inject. Foaming your home will get rid of them snappy. Termites go away and our customers happy. Call Five Star, that's Five Star, 886-0045 and fivestartermite.com.
We know what bumps you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport. And announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon, the first Thursday of the month. We are always delighted to bring in Attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown, Hobkirk, and Callahan, attorneys at law. Don Luce is the Buckmaster Show contributor on the law. He is one of two dozen great contributors to this program. I am just so grateful, Don, to have people like you, Ryan Hansen. I mean,
thank
it's
you,
an all-star lineup. It
well,
really is.
I love doing this show, so thank you for having me.
No, it's just always a pleasure. And Don is the author of two very popular books. If you have any questions about Arizona law and you don't want to, like, go to a law library and have big, huge volumes that you see in attorneys' offices, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers in its second printing, highly recommended. Also, estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know, and as I say, not only what you need to know, but what you need, Don Luce, to do.
Thank you.
And put at the top of the list. Anyway, got lots to talk about, of course, because it's the Arizona legislature.
That's right. We're in
the
session.
The hits, they just keep happening. And what's this going on with the passengers who are in a car and producing ID? Now, the House is talking about requiring that everybody have ID in the car. What is
this
about?
That's right. So this bill was passed out of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, House Bill 2305. And under this bill, a passenger in a motor vehicle, under certain circumstances, can be required to show ID.
Huh.
So that's maybe not too surprising, but here's the punchline.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't show ID and you're required to do so, it's considered a crime. And you can serve up to 4 months in jail and a $750 fine under this bill. And the people who are opposing this say, well, hold on just a second. So if we have our teenage kids in the car,
mm-hmm,
and they're not wearing seatbelts, and we get stopped,
right,
and the officer sees that they're not wearing seatbelts and determines that that violates the traffic law, then he can require them to show IDs. But what if one of the kids doesn't have an ID? So there's, I think, a real issue with respect to this proposed legislation. Some fine-tuning, I think, needs to be done, because as it's currently coming out of committee, things like that are still up in the air. We certainly, I wouldn't think, would want to have legislation that would subject children to criminal offenses if they're riding in their parents' car and they don't have any form of ID, and the car gets stopped, and they're not wearing a seatbelt, and then they're arrested, and they're charged with a crime. So this bill, as I mentioned, came out of committee. But I think it's also a bill that's going to be fine-tuned before it goes much further.
Does it talk at all about the age limit of the passenger?
No, my understanding is that it simply refers to a passenger in a motor vehicle.
Well, what about an infant or something? in a child's seat or something? That could be.
So there you go. There's the rub.
And is it constitutional to an officer to require someone to produce identification, an adult presumably?
If the officer has reasonable suspicion to stop a vehicle, then the officer has the ability to require the driver of the vehicle to produce identification.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, that doesn't apply to passengers in the vehicle if the officer has no reasonable suspicion that any criminal activity has been happening within the vehicle.
Hmm. What about, and speaking of automobiles, proposal before lawmakers to increase the liability insurance for Arizona
Right, motors. Right. So this is... I have a chapter in my book on mandatory automobile insurance. So this proposal is actually of some interest to me. It's Senate Bill 1111. It came out of the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure by a vote of 6-1. So the current law requires every driver to have minimum liability insurance as a condition of driving. Driving, as you know, is a privilege. It's not right. A right. And part of the bargain for that privilege is you have to have liability insurance. And there is a minimum mandatory amount for each bodily injury and property damage. So currently, you have to have $15,000 of liability insurance for injury to any one person.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have not less than $30,000 of insurance for all injuries in a single accident. And you have to have no less than $10,000 of insurance for property damage. So if you cause
which
an accident...
Which includes someone else's vehicle.
It's just someone else's vehicle.
Just some. Okay.
So if you cause an accident and property damage and personal injury results from your negligence, you have to provide at least $15,000 per person, $30,000 for all people in that accident, and $10,000 for the property damage caused by your negligence. That law has been with us for 40 years.
Wow.
Okay. So the bill that was passed out of the committee would increase those minimum amounts to $25,000 for a single person, $50,000 for any number of injuries resulting from a single accident, and $25,000 for property damage. It doesn't quite double the numbers, but it comes pretty close. With regard to the property damage, it's actually a 250% increase. It goes from $10,000 to $25,000. With regard to the personal injury numbers, it's not quite a double.
And why do I think that the industry would be opposed to
this? Well, you may be surprised to hear that increasing the minimum mandatory amounts is also going to increase the premiums for the coverage. So the best estimate that I've heard is that increasing the minimums is going to increase insurance premiums by between $7 and $8 a month. But to be honest with you, Bill, a lot of people don't think that the minimum amount is sufficient for them. $15,000 for a single injury. If you think about that, it's not hard to imagine that an injury could be significant, and $15,000 in insurance coverage would simply be insufficient to protect you from the liability that you might be exposed to.
I mean, even if it was a minor accident, that could $15,000 could be eaten up at the emergency room.
Exactly right. And if you think about it as well, $10,000 for property damage, that doesn't go very far anymore when some cars cost six or seven times that amount. So it may not be a bad idea to increase the amounts, but if you do so, there is a trade-off because you're also going to increase the monthly premiums for the insurance coverage. Now, the proponents of this say that that's a fair trade because right now 15-30-10, which are the current minimums, is insufficient. It's been around for 40 years. Everyone knows that things cost more today than they did 40 years ago, and so we ought to revisit the minimum numbers and increase them to reflect current-day values. The opponents of this change say, look, if you increase the premiums by $7 to $8 a month, what you're going to do is make insurance more unaffordable for more people who are struggling to just maintain the current minimum amounts. Right now, according to the numbers I've seen, about 12% of motorists have no insurance.
I would think it might even be more than that, but you're saying 12.
That's the number that I've seen, but okay. Anecdotally, I think that percentage is low.
Right.
I think there probably is more than 12% uninsured. So what happens is if an uninsured driver causes injury or property damage, then you don't have a way to recover your damages from that driver.
Right.
From insurance. Now, you could, if you wanted to, I presume you could file a lawsuit mm-hmm. and try to collect, but that's a very lengthy and time-consuming process. The best bet is to get uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage. This is available to every person who has an auto policy.
That's essential, I believe.
Well, yeah. I think it is. Uninsured motorist coverage means that if you're injured by an uninsured motorist, your own insurance company will pay for your damages.
All right. Don Luce, author of Arizona Laws 101 and Estate Planning in Arizona. Don, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Chack with Mike Shaw. Then Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9 in the morning. And then from 9 to 10, Talking Culture. The Buckmaster Show at 12:04 with our guest, our Friday Focus interview, the Sheriff. Mark Napier will be my guest tomorrow. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.